WINX St. Michael's.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem. I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Well, I tell you what, we have struck gold not once but twice. We didn't have an Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week last week with the race and with me being up in Baltimore with Maryland football duties, the rare college football game on Friday night. Mark Potter filling in last week. But week one and week three, wow, we have had some great Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Weeks here. And the latest one coming down to just about the very end. Kent Island blocking a North Carolina field goal that would have given them the lead. They return it 89 yards for the touchdown, and they end up winning 21-14 the final in a huge 2A East matchup that in week three has major playoff implications. Yeah, we're talking about playoff implications this early in the season because guess what? The 2A East is stacked. Kent Island, North Carolina, Queen Anne's, Easton, Parkside. And that's not including some of the Western Shore teams as well that are all vying for one of four spots at the end of the year to make the Maryland State playoffs. So this was a huge win for Kent Island at the end of the game, but a huge win for them on the road. But folks, the theme of defense and special teams for Kent Island continues as that has propelled them to victory over the first 2 weeks. It's been huge in their win over Colonel Richardson week one against non-conference foe Elkton from Cecil County last week. And the difference in the game this week over the Bulldogs, 21-14, as special teams blocks the field goal at the very end. And I think that is the one, that's the one point that, and look, I've played, I've coached, I think a lot of North Carolina head coach James McCormick, and he took responsibility for making the decision to go for the field goal there instead of trying to punch it in. But you could definitely argue that given the success that Kent Island special teams have had over the last several weeks, special teams and defense, you could certainly argue why tempt fate on the special teams end of it, especially because that's a phase of the game where, especially in high school, but even up to the pro level, there's a lot of uncertainty. Why test it? Why take the chance there? Now, look, clearly, you know, Kent Island's defense has played very well. They came in giving up just 14 points in the first two games, and last week they shut out Elkton. So you could definitely argue, well, there's no assumption there. There shouldn't be an assumption that they would necessarily get in. Look, a lineman misses a block. A Kent Island defender gets to the backfield and maybe takes one of those backs down. Yeah, that's wholly possible. But of the two scenarios, would you rather take the chance with your stable of running backs back there in Bailey and Rochester and Potts? Yeah, I would. I would. But I'm not here to try and rub it in or anything else. Just present the two scenarios and go from there. And I think that's something you have to take a look at and say, yeah, of the two scenarios, I think it best that you try and run it in there. But it is what it is at this point. We'll see how this affects playoff implications down the line. But a huge win for Kent Island on the road. All right, Mike Bradley coming to you from the Edge Trading Academy Studios. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites. Good to be back in studio last week. It was odd for me to be doing, not that I didn't have a good time, but odd for me to be doing Maryland football on a Friday night. The Terps had a game last week against a Florida team. And it was very odd to be doing Friday night college football. Good to be back here in the Edge Trading Academy Studios to doing high school football, though, in an exciting game to say the least. So with all that said, let's get updated here on your Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Brett Moy Therapy providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. And scores that have come in outside of the Kent Island North Carolina game, where again Kent Island wins 21-14. It was Queen Anne's over Washington 49-7. This game was very close very early on, and then after that, it wasn't much of a game at all. Quarterback Mike D'Angelo, and I'm going to have to count up the amount of touchdown passes here, but he at least had, let's see, one, two, three, four, at least four touchdown passes in this one. And Washington, conversely, down to their third-string quarterback due to injuries throughout the game. But Mike D'Angelo putting it in the air. Now, one of the touchdown passes, the one to C.J. Rogers, that was mostly at yards after the catch. But Mike D'Angelo is having a season. Wow. And Mason Ledford, we'll talk about him in a second. He and Ledford have to be the top two quarterbacks in the Bayside in terms of being able to throw the football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And they throw a really nice football. Now, Tyler Harding's pretty good at Cambridge, no question. But these two guys are a level above, at least right now. And with all due respect to the other quarterbacks out there in the Bayside, the numbers don't lie. So Queen Anne's over Washington 49-7. So Queen Anne's now improving to 3-0 on the year. By the way, Kent Island improving to 3-0. North Carolina dropping to 2-1. Kent County defeated Colonel Richardson by a score of 22-6 in this one in a big 1A battle. And the question was going to be for Kent County, you know, could the defense step up against a physical Colonel Richardson squad? And for Colonel Richardson, conversely, could they keep down a fast, finesse, and skill type Trojan squad? And, you know, clearly, you know, both teams, their defense has played pretty well all in all, but obviously Kent County's playing better. That's a big win. That would have been a big win for Colonel, but it's a big win for Kent. And we understand that Kent County's starting quarterback went down in this game, and we'll find out the latest from head coach Brendan Ironton concerning that situation. And Kent County plays Cambridge next week, so that could be huge if he's out for any extended period of time. But they were able to get it done tonight without the services that we understand of their starting quarterback, at least in the second half. Colonel Richardson's lone score coming late in the first half. Actually, I believe it's the final play of the first half on a fumble. Just coming in out of Salisbury, Parkside over Y-High, 28-8. This game, though, was very close for a while. Parkside getting most of their scores in the second half, mostly in the fourth quarter. But this was a defensive battle. Y-High with many a drive down the field on Parkside, but unable to get it done. And we'll talk a little bit later with Brendan Riley, Parkside coach, on the win. Snow Hill, they forfeited their game against Arcadia, Virginia. They were down to just 11 players, so it's a loss for them tonight as they're now 0-3. Tomorrow, Saturday, football at noon in Salisbury County Stadium. J.M. Bennett hosting Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. Nandua 3-0 on the year. Bennett at 1-1. However, Nandua's three opponents they've defeated, combined records of 0-9. Cambridge, the last we checked, they were leading quite comfortably against Seaford. That's Seaford, Delaware, in the Henlopen Conference, 54-0. Taj Moloch with a day, at least four touchdowns for the Viking. The last we saw in terms of an update, Easton was leading Stephen Decatur comfortably 34-10 in that one. As Zach Strand, that is, with three touchdown runs. Mason Ledford with a couple of touchdown passes as well. It looks like Easton will go on with the victory. And again, we talk about a 2A East that is very, very competitive. And that's why tonight's game in week three. And that's what's kind of neat. The better that the Bayside Conference is, the more these games early in the year mean something. So when you have an Easton and a Parkside that are better this year, it just makes it that much better. And Colonel Richardson, for that matter, in the 1A, too. And Washington, look, they're not there yet. They're making progress. But, hey, first possession, Queen Anne's fumbles on the kickoff. Washington with a 30-yard drive down the field to score. Now, as it turns out, they're blown out. But the bottom line is you look for those signs, those little signs. And there's one. But some games tonight. Good stuff. All right. It's 9:05, and we'll go out to the phones, and we'll be talking with the coaches around the Bayside. Also, David Inslee from the Star Democrat is going to be joining us as well. But that's the latest for Pret Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Don't forget, by the way, if you can't get us on the radio, if you're out of the listening area but we'll still want to tune in, we are worldwide and streaming at sfmsports.net. All right, timeout. We're back. We'll talk with some of the coaches around the Bayside coming your way next.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com.
WINX FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, 9:07 is the time, and right out to the phone lines we go. Coach Johnny Grafe joining us as Queen Anne's the winner tonight over Washington by a final score of 49-7. And, Coach, congratulations. The Lions are proving to 3-0. And I've got to tell you, I know you talked about splitting or going with the best quarterback, that is, depending on practice week to week. But while Mike D'Angelo has really taken the Bayside by storm with his arm, a passing performance against Washington tonight, I counted at least four touchdown passes. But you have to be really happy with his development early on this season.
Yeah, Mike's done unbelievably well. Couldn't be more proud of him. You know, he made a lot of sacrifices last year as far as not playing baseball in the spring, just to work on, you know, his techniques and going to camps to become a better quarterback. And it's really showed early in the season. We'll see what happens as the season goes on.
Well, it almost seems like last year in the playoff game against North Carolina, when he was thrust into a starting role due to injury to the starter, to Tommy Bull, he played pretty well considering, and it almost looks like that was some foreshadowing that, yeah, if he stuck to it and put in the time of the work, that it would pay off, and obviously that shows.
Yeah, it really did. I think we saw it as coaches last year, too. You know, for his first start in high school football to come in a playoff game against North Carolina. And, it was just an eye-opener for us. We thought he did really well. And he just has really taken to the position. He's grown tremendously from where he was last year.
Coach, the Washington Jaguars came in at 0-2, but you could see that this is a team slowly improving. They've got a lot of young guys, but they have experience. And I guess it showed early on because you guys, with a rare fumble and opening kickoff, they drove 30 yards for a scoring drive. And so I'm sure that certainly caught the attention of the players.
Yeah, sure did. I commend the Washington Jaguars coaching staff. They are definitely better than what they were last year. I think they got some fine athletes, and you know, if they keep developing and keep growing, I think they'll be a pretty good football team by the end of the year.
And a couple of 6'2 receivers, I'm sure you saw on the video, Tyler Paulson being one of them, so I'm sure coming into the game, you obviously wanted to shut him down.
Yeah, they hurt us with the passing game a little bit, but as a whole, I think we, as the game went on, obviously we played a lot better, kind of got a feel exactly for what we were seeing as far as what they were trying to do, And like I said, as the game went on, we kind of took control.
Now, Coach, as we just mentioned, Mike D'Angelo with several touchdown passes in the game. Was that the plan coming in to attack him by the air, or is that just how things played out based on what you were seeing?
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's just how things played out. You know, we got a situation here that, you know, we have some really good running backs, but, you know, Mike has done so well in practice and in the game so far that we'd be doing him a disservice if we didn't let him throw the ball. And, you know, when he was hot like he was tonight, I mean, there was a couple passes that, you know, they had defenders right on their receivers. And, mm-hmm. You know, he just put the ball right on the money. Kids never broke stride. And I think I was told by one of the coaches, one of them was about a 45 or 50-yard pass. And, and a wide receiver never broke stride. I mean, it just hit him right in the hands, and, you know, it was just, you know, I told some of the coaches at halftime, you know, we're seeing something special here, and I just hope we can keep him healthy, and I hope he has a tremendous year and keeps on getting better.
Yeah, his first half stats, Coach, 5 of 6 for 261 yards and 4 touchdowns. You talk about efficiency. I don't think it gets any more efficient than that.
No, I mean, he does well. Like I said, it's just not throwing the ball. I mean, anybody that, you know, knows anything about quarterbacking, you can see that Mike has a strong arm, but it's the little things where, you know, a few steps to the right, a few steps to the left to buy himself an extra some extra time. You know, maybe the first receiver's covered looking to a second receiver. And, you know, it's all those things that, you know, that I think that are really going to take Mike far. And, like I said, I hope we just keep him healthy and he just keeps on improving.
Head coach Johnny Grave joining us on the coach's line as Queen Anne's winner tonight over Washington 49-7. And obviously, coach, in a tough 2A East, getting off to a 3-0 start is very good tonight. We had a great one, our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, as Kent Island blocked a field goal at the end of the game and returned it for a touchdown. They beat North Carolina 21-14. But, coach, as you well know, this 2A East, especially with a team like Easton and Parkside being a better team, this 2A East is ultra competitive this year.
Yeah, it sure is. It's going to be, you know, it makes every week interesting. You know, it used to be years past, it was, you know, maybe except for last year, you come down to the end of the year, like us and Kent Island and whoever won that would be the number one seed in the East. But, you know, over the last few years, that's really changed, and I'm sure it makes it exciting for the other schools.
No, most certainly. Coach, just getting back to your offense for a second, in terms of the passing game, is this one of, or if not, at least so far, and I know it's just 3 games in, but is this one of, if not the best passing game that you've had in your years with the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of having a better quarterback than Tyler German when we had him, but, you know, we're 3 weeks into it, so, you know, the proof will be at the end of the season.
Sure.
But, you know, right now I'd put him on the same stage as Tyler as far as quarterbacking. And, you know, that's something we could ask any more than what Mike's done.
Right. Coach, who's on the slate next week for you?
Let's see. Next week we got Sussex Central.
Okay, so a non-conference affair against a team that you guys took care of handily last year. And I say this with all due respect, knowing that how good the Henlopen North is. I thought that game would be a little bit closer, but you guys took advantage of mistakes, and you won comfortably in that game. In fact, tonight they're playing a really good squad out of Philadelphia area, Interboro, and they trail 20-10 right now. But that's one of those games that really gets you ready for your conference games later in the year, like against the Kent Island in North Carolina, obviously.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it'll be quite a challenge for us. You know, it'll be the toughest game we've had so far, obviously. And, you know, last year, like you said, there was, you know, Sussex Central came to us, and I think they fumbled a couple times, picked a couple of them up, ran it for touchdowns. And before you know it, Sussex Central was down a few scores. So, you know, I'm sure they won some payback. And from what we've seen on tape, they're a very good football team, returning a lot of starters from last year, so it should be quite a game.
I guess the good news is the running back that did have success against you last year is a transfer from Indian River. I believe he graduated. So
yeah, that's I think they have 8 starters coming back on offense. Wow. He was one of the kids that graduated, and there was either 8 or 9 starters coming back on defense. So their JV team was really, really, really good. So, again, it's going to be a great game, and you know, we'll be up to the challenge, I hope, and we'll see what happens next week.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time. Congratulations to you. Again, Queen Anne's 49-7 winners over Washington, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Head Coach Donnie Grave joining us on the coach's line at 9:15 on the OTL here, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Mike Bradley with you, broadcasting from the Edge Training Academy studios, and good to be back with you this week. Again, want to thank Mark Potter for filling in for me last week. Paula's Fine Jewelry is back to reward one lucky coach from the North Bayside. Each coach that participates this year will be entered into a drawing to become the Overtime Live Coach of the Year. The winner receives a $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. And I think this week it's probably safe enough to say that Davia Ferragamo, head coach of Kent Island, will get that Coach of the Week award. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. As Kent Island with a big win tonight at North Carolina, 21-14. Last couple of weeks, I mean, for me, in my blogs at overtimelive.net, it's been Matt Griffith. And actually, for 2 weeks, Coach James McCormick of North Carolina. But this week, head coach Damian Ferragamo, that's my choice for Coach of the Week. All right, 9:16, we're back to talk with more coaches around the Bayside next.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8045.
Turn to Chesapeake College and discover your future as a police officer, paralegal, or paramedic. From health professions and environmental science to criminal justice and accounting, affordable degrees and certificates make Chesapeake the right place to start or grow your career. Fall classes begin August 22nd. Enroll today. Visit Chesapeake.edu or call 410-822-5400. That's 410-822-5400. Your time, your place. Chesapeake College.
The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 9:17 on the OTL. And let's go right back out to the coaches' line. And we've got from Kent County, head coach Brendan Ironton, as the Trojans 22-6 winners over Colonel Richardson tonight in Wharton in a big 1A matchup. Coach, thanks for joining us, and congratulations to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. Now, first things first, we understand that your starting quarterback went out of the game in the first half. Can you give us an update on his health status?
He was injured, I think, a week ago and tried to play through it and kind of re-hurt it. So we're just kind of, you know, we're going to wait and see what happens.
So, did he leave after the first half? Did you have your backup come in the second half?
He probably left halfway through the second quarter, and our backup, we had a freshman come in, play the rest of the second quarter, and we put Mark Warren Green. We've been patching the quarterback recently and just getting him ready just in case, and you know, it just happened to work out. You know, we got him reps this week, so it was great. It was a great adjustment on our coach's part.
The coach coming into the game, a Colonel Richardson squad that had a win. They took Kent Island for about 2.5 quarters before the Buccaneers pulled away. A physical team, a team that had some success last year. This was a big 1A matchup, and I know that you were looking for your defense to have one of those big games to step up against a physical Colonel squad. And tonight, holding them down to just 6 points, which came at the end of the first half off of, a fumble, have to be very happy with those guys tonight.
I was very happy. I told you it's probably one of the few games in that venue that we've executed our defensive game plan, to the T. And I wouldn't be surprised if they had negative rushing yards tonight. And I thought we did a pretty good job of stringing out the carriers and letting our speed get to the edges and make tackles. So I was very proud of the way our defense played. You know, give them 0 points this week after we struggled, you know, holding some teams the last 2 weeks and handling the adversity that we did. So I'm very, you know, proud of that unit.
And this is the kind of game that could be a springboard for the defense, as you talked about. When guys do their job or they execute the game plan, you take a look at it. It's a reminder that, hey, if we do what we're supposed to do, the coaches tell us and what they teach us, we can win games and we can shut down other teams' offenses or at least hold them down.
Exactly. If you look at a Colonel team, they got some guys that can run. And one thing we didn't want to give them is there's cutback range. We want to string them out and get them going side to side. And we were able to do that tonight, and that was the difference.
I was going to say, Eric Joseph, the running back for Colonel Richardson, a physical back, one that's had a lot of success, played special teams as well. So that was the game plan, to try to string out his runs but also stay disciplined on the backside?
Yeah, because, Eric's a great player, and they also got some other guys that can run. And I was really worried, and we worked our keys all week, and that was just get them going side to side. And because we know with our team speed, we were able to get to the edges a little quicker than they are. So we just wanted to use our speed to our advantage to match up with theirs.
And talk about the physicality, because on the offensive side, we know that, I mean, last year you loved to run, or excuse me, throw the ball a lot. I know you want to be more balanced this year. But, you know, when you think Kent County, you tend to think more maybe skill and speed, not as much physicality. But Colonel Richardson, a physical team. But talk about the work tonight in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Colonel's defense, they have a very good front seven defensive unit-wise. And they played us, they had a good defensive game plan, I think. With us, what we're trying to do is, we're missing three starters on the offensive line this week. And I thought our guys were to be patient
And as the game went on, we started opening up holes and doing a very good job. We're going to throw the ball 3 or 4 times today. And, wow. You know, we're going to do what it takes to win. And it's kind of tough playing. You know, we got a lot of skill guys, but when we get their seams and we can hit it, we can hit it. So I think our offensive line with the pass work that's been last 2 weeks, missed a couple guys. And I think they've done a really good job. But I think we'll be back 100% next week. And I think our coach has done a great job preparing those guys. And like I said, the Cardinals defensive line, they're very physical and they're very fast. And they're probably one of the better defensive line units I've seen on film so far this year.
Well, Coach, that speaks volumes. You said you had 3 offensive linemen now to do the job against their front seven. And you're right, Coach Ferragamo of Cat Island talked about their front seven as well. That's absolutely huge. You may have some position battles this week then.
Yeah. And then, you know what, I think from what we're going to see next week, I think it was great to see that kind of athleticism and that thing and that kind of skill this week. I think that's a great step up for us from what we're going to see next week, is Cambridge going to play the same type of defense. And Colonel's 5 techniques, they're big. They're pretty big. And so I was pretty happy the way our guys were able to handle it.
Now, Coach, you got Marquand Green back, but you mentioned that you only threw the ball, 3 or 4 times tonight, or 4 or 5 times?
Yeah, I mean, we threw a screen, threw a couple passes, you know. But so what happened was with our scheme is, you know, Marquand's able to run. You can give it, you can keep it, whatever. We're gonna pound the football this year.
Right.
And after the Queen Anne's game, we kind of, our coaches that we was like, you know what, at one hand you could go back and say, can we use our skill guys? But on the other hand, we were said, you know what, we got to prepare ourselves to be more physical, and we can't if we don't want to make excuses for our line. So we're getting our guys to be more physical up front, and we're just pushing those guys to get there. And it's coming along. And as long as we're staying patient or grinding the clock and taking opportunities in the air when we have to, then I think, you know, we're gonna be all right.
Coach, I know a couple weeks ago it was a questionable ejection to Marquand Green. Last week you had a few guys that were ejected that missed the game today. But are you guys finished with that? I mean, at this point, and I guess through a couple of weeks, I know you don't want to have to be down some guys like that, especially the offensive line.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. And anytime it's questionable, you know, it's frustrating. But it is what it is, and you got to go on. You got to move on. And our kids, they moved on from it, and they played it. Through it, and you know, we've been able to put two together here, which is great for those guys.
Absolutely. Now, next week, you guys will be a part of our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week as you take on Cambridge on the road. And that's always been, I mean, last year's game was an outstanding game. I know it didn't end up the way certainly you wanted, but you guys got out to a lead. But this is the kind of game that'll battle test you. And frankly, if you went to Queen Anne's, you had to go to Queen Anne's week one, you're not going to face a tougher environment than that. So that kind of gets you ready for a game like this next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Queen Anne's game, I definitely think this game that we had tonight was a step that's going to prepare us for it. And it's going to make us better in the long run because of that.
Coach, what if you, taking a look back at the last few years with games against Cambridge, is there one thing that you could point out to say this is what we have to do or not do in order to get over the hump and beat the Vikings?
We got to match physical play. We have to. We can't try to finesse. We got to match their style play with ours. And the one thing, we can't wait for guys. We got to go out and be on the attack. We got to play to win. We can't sit there to hope to win the end. We just got to play great football, no mistakes, and like I said, play to win.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight over Colonel Richardson, 22-6. The Trojans improving to 2-1, and a big win, that is, excuse me, in the 1A, and there'll be another big 1A game coming around the corner next Friday, and that'll be our game of the week. Coach, thanks so much. Congrats, and we'll talk next week. Well, you'll talk to Mark Potter after the game on the field.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks so much. We appreciate it. 9:25 on the OTL. By the way, Kent Island head football coach Damian Ferragamo is our carpool coach of the week, confirmed by Mark Potter. I didn't think there was any question about that. But that's some very interesting insight from head coach Brendan Ireton that, hey, we're going to be a physical team, and we're going to get at it in the trenches, and we're not going to try to be a finesse team. And certainly with Stevie Johnson, who's gone to quarterback to graduation, you know, they were going to be more of a running team this year anyway, but tonight, that's a big game. That is a big game. And, you know, for Colonel Richardson, kudos to the defense for doing the job that they did. You know, offensively, obviously, they want to score more, but to Kent County's defense, they stepped up tonight and had a big game. And again, that could be a springboard game We'll have to see next week. Obviously, will be another great litmus test for Kent County and their defense against the Cambridge squad that beat up on Seaford tonight. They lost a tough one last week to North Carolina, and then they had a win week one fairly comfortably against Wicomico. Let's go out to the hotline. Hello, Overtime Live. Who's this?
Yeah, I'm calling to order a large pepperoni and have Mark Meyer pay for it.
David Inslee of the Star Democrat. Well, no surprise, though, that you'll pass the buck on that one.
Well, obviously. I mean, we'll rate sports for food. That's my motto.
Well, Dave, tonight I know you were at the Quinnen's Washington game. We talked to head coach Donnie Grafe just a little bit ago, and I just took a look at the scoreboard, our Brett Moy Therapy scoreboard, and the update, Easton over Stephen Decatur, 40-10. You take a look at Mike D'Angelo out of Quinnen's and Mason Ledford out of Easton, clearly the top two quarterbacks of the Bayside, and tonight D'Angelo putting on a show against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think what we need to do before we have to see your all-star game is, of course, I think Mason Ledford is a junior this year, but regardless, I think we should have some kind of a skill challenge before the senior all-star game. I think that would add another dimension to it.
Sure.
I think I'm drawing more fans. I'm going to talk to Jake Coleman, because I know he's one of the big organizers of the Bayside game every year, and see what we can do about that, because D'Angelo tonight, 5-for-6, 261 yards, 4 touchdowns, and the incompletion was a near catch also, so it's not like he airmailed it or anything. I mean, the kid's got a very good touch on the ball, and he puts it right where it needs to be. 3 scores of 70 yards or more.
Well, as I talked with Coach Grafe, for him to come in last year, I think, what, as a freshman against North Carolina in the playoff game when Tommy Bull got hurt in practice the week of, did a pretty good job, and they almost pulled the upset. If it weren't for North Carolina with some aggressive play calling at the end there, getting the touchdown to win, that was some foreshadowing, and Coach talked about the fact that he decided to concentrate on football and go to camps and I guess not to pursue baseball, and it's paid off.
Yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he had the one start last year, and actually, I think he's a senior now. But
okay, my apologies. Okay,
because as I understand, I confirmed this with Donnie over last weekend, was if their projected starting 11 on offense plays, then they are, yes, in fact, 11th senior, which is, like we said last week, that's amazing. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I think this is Queen Anne's year. 09, when Tyler German was a junior, Bates lost to Eastern Tech 16-8, quite a ball game.
Yeah, I was at that. We covered that game. Yeah, I was on the sidelines. It snowed in that game.
I think they might be on their way back, man. I don't know. I mean, Kent Island's no slouch, obviously. The Gnomes are going to be homeless here if they don't start picking them to win, because they got Elkton wrong, I think, and I think they got this week wrong, too, with North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had to laugh because, we'll get to that in a second, but for Coach Grafe to say that, at least so far, that he would make a comparison to Tyler German and the passing game, the success they've had there, it's a very balanced offensive attack, and then we know how good the defense is with Al Waters running things there. Look, it's early, it's 3-0, and they still have some tough teams to play in North Carolina and Kent Island, but off to a good start there. And David, you do get the feeling that it could be a very special year for the Lions, especially with the experience they have, the amount of seniors.
Yeah, if they're going to keep performing like they have been, I mean, they're looking pretty good, man. And, you know, unstoppable force versus immovable object. I'm going with force right now because the Lions are looking strong.
Now, tonight in our game of the week, Kent Island defeats North Carolina 21-14. North Carolina, on a fourth down call, decides to kick a chip shot field goal instead of going for it. And, look, I know it's easy to second-guess head coach James McCormick on that. I guess my one point would be this. Of the two sides of the football, or there are three phases, I should say, of the two phases of football, knowing how shaky special teams could be and knowing Kent Island had success over the last couple of weeks in special teams, I would have gone for it there, because even though Kent Island has an excellent defense as well, and there's no question, there's no guarantee that a lineman doesn't slip or a defensive lineman doesn't get through the line and stuff one of the backs, but I would have taken my chances with David Bailey or Tay Potts or any of the backs that they have in the stable there, Zay Rochester being the other guy.
Right. I can definitely understand that logic, but just like with opening night when Easton had the choice of going for one or two against North Carolina, I would have probably gone with the practically guaranteed point there as well. I mean, seriously, Mike, who would have considered, what was it, an 89-yard run back on a block? That, you know, that stuff just really doesn't happen a whole lot in the world.
No, but blocks do. Although, granted, at that point, then it would have just been tied. But still, no points, though, and a chance to win. But that's fair. But the other thing, though, in that Easton game, at least Emma Skoglund had kicked several point after tries. With Caroline, when's the last time they attempted a field goal, though?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is last year when they had Cameron Bird, they had a decent kicking game. A couple years ago, the special teams has been their Achilles heel when it comes to them losing the tight games in recent years. I remember a couple of years ago when they lost to Easton 28-24, both teams scored four touchdowns, but Easton had a kicker, and North Carolina was 0-for-4 converting. So, you know, it hurts. But, it very well could have been 17-14 North Carolina, but for a couple inches here, a couple inches there.
Well, and the other thing is, and let's not glaze over, and Coach McCormick took, he manned up and said, look, it's on me. But North Carolina's offense, extremely sloppy tonight. A lot of penalties, a lot of issues there that they shot themselves in the foot. So maybe it shouldn't have come down to that play, quite frankly.
Right. But to James's credit, though, I mean, they could have done everything wrong, and he would still take the blame because he's a success or failure begins at the top kind of guy.
Sure.
Much to his credit.
Yeah.
But, that's one of those games that everybody wishes they could be at. And I don't know, it's ironic that technically I'm the Times Record sports editor, which is the Caroline County Weekly. I haven't seen a North Carolina game yet this year, but it's more been flukes of the schedule than it's been a conscious effort. So I'll see him down the stretch. I'm actually looking forward to it. But next week, and I think next week actually will be the week because it's either them against Y-High or I might be seeing Kent County at CSC. I don't know yet.
Well, we'll be doing the Kent County CSD game. Taking a look around the rest of the baseline quickly, David. Parkside in a battle with Y-High. They end up winning 28-8 in a must-win game after losing to Easton last week. Easton comfortably wins over Decatur. No surprise there. And again, that's a 2A East squad that wasn't a factor last year. They are this year, which makes things more intriguing. At Parkside, they still have a chance as well, but they're going to have to knock off a team or two. Again, last week's loss really hurt them. And week two, we're talking about make or break games, but tonight was one of them for them as well. But Mason Ledford continues to roll in that offense. And I guess you look at Queen Anne's and Easton and have to say those are the best offenses right now on the Bayside.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, Cambridge, I think, hung a lot of points on Seaford tonight. I never did get a final.
Yeah, but it's Seaford, so.
Yeah, exactly.
They're terrible.
Yeah. And of course, I think officially, with Snow Hill forfeiting, I think that score against Arcadia goes the book is 1-0.
I guess that could be. And finally, Kent County with a big win tonight over Colonel Richardson, 22-6. They lose their starting quarterback, who was trying to play through injury. But they get it done on the ground against the physical Colonel Richardson squad and Eric Joseph in the backfield. If there was ever a game for the defense to step up, it was tonight they did. And with three offensive linemen out, they still find a way in the trenches to get it done. This is a big win for Kent County tonight, that is.
Yeah, what happened to Tyson Johnson specifically, though?
I didn't get the detail. It had to do with an injury last week, but he ended up leaving the game after the first half.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, I hope he's better because he's not just a good football player. He's a stud baseball player, too.
We'll certainly find out on that. But anyway, when you take a look, but some good games tonight. No question about it.
Yeah, so I think the Gnomes are 6-1 this or 5-1 this week with Bennett against Nando tomorrow at noon.
Any final thoughts here as we wrap up another week of the Bayside?
No. I mean, I was hoping that I'd get a chance to see Queen Anne, and I did, and they looked like I thought they would. Washington did do a little bit passing the ball against the soft zone that Queen Anne's had at one point, but Queen Anne, to their credit, did have three picks, and one of them was almost run back for a score at the end of the first half. So, Queen Anne's looking good offensively and defensively, and I'm keeping them at the top of the power pole, moving Kent Island to 2. North Carolina's probably going to drop to 3. Easton and Cambridge fighting for 4, the way I see it.
Yeah, well, I had my first ever tie between Easton and Cambridge last week, and that will stay that way for this week as well. So,
yeah, I can certainly understand that.
David, how can folks find you online?
Well, it's StarDem.com/blogs/FromTheBleachers. Of course, on Twitter, it's @DaveTalksSports. And I've talked about all kinds of other stuff, too, so it's kind of like a really low-quality variety show if you look at my Twitter feed.
All right. Well, I always enjoy you're from the bleachers, and we'll talk next week.
All right, man. You have a good one. Quick last-minute shout-out to Dave Perillo, who's been helping out with Queen Anne's for a number of years after helping out at Kent Island. Mr. Dave's a great guy. I hang out with him on the sidelines when I can, so I hope he's listening right now. I'll see you again soon, Mr. Dave.
All right, sounds good. David, thanks so much. We appreciate it. It's 9:35 on the OTL. More coaches around the Bayside will be coming our way next. Keep it here. Here's your Bayside Pop Warner Minute for Friday, November 6th. Congratulations to the Talbot Braves Junior Pee Wee team on winning last week's Bayside Championship. On Sunday, they tried to advance in the Eastern Region Pop Warner Playoffs against Smyrna. The Caroline Cougars won the Bayside Pee Wee title with a field goal in overtime. They start their march to the Eastern Region title with a game against Dover on Sunday in Smyrna. The Talbot Braves midget team takes their Bayside title to Monroe, New Jersey. On Sunday, they look to knock off the North Edison Shamrocks. The Kent County Spartans junior midget cheerleading team is competing Saturday in Trenton, New Jersey for the Eastern Region Cheer and Dance Championships. The South Carolina Mustang and Caroline Cougar cheerleaders for the midget division will be competing in Trenton on Sunday. We'll have all of the results for you Monday morning on 94.3 Winx FM. This has been your Bayside Pop Warner Minute.
Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Preston Ford will be competing again this year to be one of the top 100 Ford dealers in the nation. The goal has been set, but we can't do it without you. 0% financing for 72 months has been extended on Ford's favorites. Get the built Ford Tough 2016 Ford F-150 for just $20,995. The 2017 Ford Fusion is just $18,995. Plus, all this month, you get a tie-dye frog to support childhood cancer awareness. Don't miss the top 100 sales drive only at Preston Ford or hop online to PrestonMotor.com.
It's Overtime Live with Mike Bradley, the only show on the shore covering high school football in the Bayside Conference. Here on 94.3 Winx FM and SFMSports.net.
At 9:38, Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton and its suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. And taking a look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard update. Queen Anne's over Washington, 49-7. Kent Island over North Carolina, 21-14. And a blocked field goal returned for a touchdown at the end of the game. And a big win for Kent Island on the road in that one. Kent County defeated Colonel Richardson 22-6. We'll talk with head coach Dan Magnum of the Colonels in just a second. Easton over Stephen Decatur 40-10. This just in, Cambridge over Seaford out of Delaware's Henlopen Conference 54-6. Parkside over Wye High in the Battle of Salisbury by a score of 28-8. Snowhill forfeited their game. Actually, they made that announcement yesterday against Arcadia of Virginia from the Eastern Shore. Speaking of which, J.M. Bennett hosting Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia tomorrow. That game at noon at County Stadium in Salisbury. But Coach Magnum joining us now on the newsmaker line. And Coach, tonight a big 1A matchup against Kent County on the road, a tough matchup, and certainly one that looks like the defense is headlined here.
Yeah, I thought we did some good things defensively. of course, you know, they have some very speedy backs, and when they got out there in space at the end, they took advantage of it.
And, Coach, I know that your program took a step forward last year with four wins, and this year looking to make that next step. And obviously a win on the road against Kent County would most certainly have been a statement game, to say the least. But you guys give Kent Island a great game for about two and a half quarters or so. And your front seven by a couple of different coaches has been talked about as being one that is a real strength of your team this year.
Yeah, I think defensively we stepped up this year. Unfortunately for us, offensively, and you can see from tonight, you know, our one touchdown was a defensive touchdown. So, you know, our offense stalled, and you know, we just couldn't get it going. But you know, hats off to Kent County. They play well defensively, and that combination with us not doing the right things and turnovers hurt.
I know, Coach, you had five turnovers in that Kent Island game last week. I think cleaned it up some, but tonight, how many turnovers did you have?
Three that I know of. Okay. Right now. So we're have to look at the film and see exactly. But it seemed like every time the ball hit the ground, we lost it. So.
Now, Coach, what did Kent County do to stifle the offense? Because I thought in this game it was a game of physicality of you guys against the skill, finesse, speed of Kent County. I certainly thought that you had a good chance of winning the battle in the trenches, especially with Eric Joseph back there. But what is it that they did to stifle things?
They pretty much just blitzed their outside backer and let Marquand stay home. And, you know, he's such a great athlete. You know, he would just fill the lane, come up, and make the play. So that was kind of it.
Yeah, so they obviously wanted to contain, but then if somebody did break loose, they felt like what they had a guy that could chase down one of your players.
And they do.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the passing game, Coach, did you try to attempt to be with them coming all the time? Did you try to take advantage of that, or is that just not a strength in this game for you?
Well, right now...
Or strength of the team,
I should say. Yeah, we... We definitely have a new look. We lost a lot of kids last year offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just have to get more reps in practice and get a greater understanding offensive line-wise, you know, what our blocking assignments are, especially in the passing game. You know, we did do a couple things. I know we completed one long pass to Plotters and Charles tonight that got us down into range to score a touchdown. But, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot and, you know, had a penalty, you know, a couple guys in motion and, you know, there you go. So we have to get over that hump of, you know, we have to play smarter. So anyway.
Coach, and look, I know ultimately you want to win, and that's the point of going out there. But when you take a look at where Colonel Richards has been and where they are right now, at least here, again, you do see some positive growth in that. Teams are taking a step forward. Again, you won four games last year. You're in a lot of these games. I mean, Kent Island, the score was not indicative of the way that that game went. So you could see from even an outsider's point of view, like myself, you could see the improvement in the program there. At least you have to derive some satisfaction out of that, especially given as well that I know last week you talked about, you played a Snow Hill team that had like 16 guys, but, you know, you had 23 guys go to big against Kent Island week one, and they had about double the amount of guys you had.
Yeah, we have, with injuries, you know, we're down to, 21 varsity kids. You know, it's tough. It's tough, you know. I tell our kids all the time that they have to be twice as tough and, you know, go out there and play twice as hard because, you know, we are limited in numbers. And, you know, that can't be an excuse, though. You know, we have to be able to turn the corner. We have to be able to be – we're starting to become a more competitive program, I think, and I think we saw that week one against Kent Island. But we have to play smarter. I mean, we cannot continue to turn the ball over, make mistakes, you know, penalty-wise and those type things, and compete against the better teams like Kent County and Kent Island and Cambridge and North Carolina, those guys. You just can't do that because good teams take advantage of your mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, well, the margin of error is obviously less, but again, you have to feel good at least about the competitiveness, and that's where it starts. I mean, obviously you want wins at the end, but it's all about stepping up, and you're kind of starting over with a lot of guys that you lost. But again, you certainly can't necessarily tell that, though, with the way that you guys have played the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, we have six seniors, you know, so that kind of – you know, pushes a lot of their sophomores up and into the varsity program. You know, we do have a freshman team that plays a limited schedule. So we're trying to build numbers there. But, yeah, I mean, there are positives as far as, yes, we've been more competitive last year. You know, we had a shootout with Kent County, and I think they may have scored 65 or 70 points. I don't know.
Parkside, you know, too, yeah.
Yeah, Parkside, too. So, you know, but we talk about, you know, and our saying is, but it's Colonel. You know, we play hard, but it's Colonel. And we need to get that out of our program. You know, there cannot be but it's Colonel. We need to go out and compete and win games. You know, that's the bottom line. We want to be a playoff team. We want to compete with the better team, even if it means we have 20, 21, 22 kids, whatever, in the program.
Sure.
We want to be able to go out and do those things.
Sure.
And that's what we're trying to get to. You know, unfortunately for us tonight, that didn't happen. I thought we had a great opportunity, and I'm not taking anything away from Kent County. They played hard. They did some really good things. And we did some good things too, but, you know, we're just not getting it done. We need to learn how to get it done. And I'm not sure at this time we're at that point to do that. So hopefully that'll, the, you know, light bulb will turn on and we'll get past that at some point during the season. Yeah.
Coach, who's on the schedule next week?
Parkside at home.
Okay, Parkside at home against a Rams squad coming off a win over Wye High, 28-8, although that game was a lot closer than the score indicates. So there'll be another tough game. And, well, I, from an offensive standpoint, it'd be great if you put up the 30-some points you put up against the Rams last year. But, yeah, I don't want to see the 60 or 70 that they scored.
No, we definitely don't want to see that. Our defense has been much better. That's been a bigger focus for us. Unfortunately, our offense stalled tonight. And, again, you know, hats off to Kent County. They did a great job of containing us. And we shot ourselves in the foot. And we had opportunities that we didn't take advantage of. So if we're going to beat Parkside, they're a tough team. We can't do that next week.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. It's good talking to you. Hopefully we'll have you on a little bit more every week. And best wishes next week against the Rams.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. We do appreciate it. Coach Magnum of the Colonel Richardson Colonels falling tonight by a final score of 22-6 to Kent County. We're back with more. Going to try to, we put in a call to Easton head coach Matt Griffith. We'll try to call him back. And also we'll get in touch with Parkside head coach Brendan Riley as well. Keep it here. It's 9:47 on the OTL.
Football season is here, and Kerry O, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGrawl.com.
Harrison's Chesapeake House on Tilghman Island invites you to spend a Friday night enjoying their all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet for just $24.99. Enjoy shrimp eight different ways, plus barbecue ribs, their famous fried chicken, hush puppies, and all of the veggies. Buddy Harrison serves up the prime rib and seafood buffet every Saturday night. Spend the day and night at Harrison's on the water on Tilghman Island. For great food, fishing trips, and fun, head to Harrison's Chesapeake House. Check them out online at ChesapeakeHouse.com.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the driver's improvement or point system conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
It's Overtime Live with analysis, interviews, and predictions covering high school football in the Bayside Conference like none other here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 9:50 on the OTL, and joining us on the coach's line, Matt Griffith of the Eastern Warriors, winners tonight over Stephen Decatur by a score of 40-10, and the Warriors improving to 2-1 on the season. And Coach, congrats. And yeah, I was talking to Donnie Grafe of Queen Anne's just a little bit ago, and when you take a look at quarterbacks of the Bayside, Mike D'Angelo and your guy Mason Ledford, boy, have they had an outstanding first 3 weeks to the season.
Yeah, it appears that they have. You know, both kids, the Queen Anne's quarterback, very good quarterback, doing a lot, big playmaker. Mason's doing a good job of managing the offense and taking advantage of what other teams are giving him right now.
Yeah. Well, Coach, when I think about a quarterback managing the game, we think about not making mistakes and short passes and not taking many chances down the field. But that's not Mason Ledford. Boy, he has certainly let it loose and shown a very good passing ability.
Mason's done a very good job. You know, he's taken advantage of what people are giving us, and you know, in our system and our offense, he has a lot of different things he can check to, and he's done a great job with it thus far.
Now, tonight, not only did he have a couple of touchdown passes, but Zach Strand getting in on the fray, and he had at least, I believe, three touchdown runs tonight. And last week, he had a big game, and I know last year he got injured in a non-contact drill, was out for the year, a transfer from Kent Island. But talk about what he's brought to the offense this year, especially losing Marasco last year.
Yeah, you know, Zach's done a great job for us. He gives us a strong presence in our power running game, and you know, he's not slow by any means, and you know, he's picking his spots now and being able to get out there, and the offensive line's doing a really nice job for him, and then giving him some blocks to get downfield.
I know it's just 3 weeks through the year, but did you expect your offense to be this potent at this point early in the season?
Not well, you know, we always know that there's potential there for us to be good and to be better. You know, if you would have told me we would have scored this many points before the season started, I would have said no. But at the same time, if you'd have told me we would have given up this many points, I'd have said no too. So, you know, that's why they're high school kids. They go out there and play the game and have fun with it. And, you know, we just try to get the most out of them every day.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get a chance to talk last week. I know Mark was in for me, and I had duties covering Maryland football on a Friday night. But last week, a big win over Parkside at a 2A East battle. Here you play a Stephen Decatur squad who's a 3A team. They started out hot last year. This year they've fallen upon some hard times. So a game that, to me, is, hey, you take care of business, and you guys certainly did. You didn't let Decatur hang around or give them any chances. And I thought tonight the key was going to be clearly how the defense was going to play. I think we had a pretty good idea that the offense was going to score points.
Yeah, no, we really focused on assignments, and you know, I know Decatur's had a rough start to the season, but they're a good football team that are coached up very well, and they got some really good athletes on the field. You know, they made us miss a few times tonight, made us pay a couple times, but the defense responded and made some plays when we had to, and got some pressure on the quarterback, and they did a very nice job. It was, you know, we're asking them to improve each and every week, and I think they've done that thus far. You know, we're going to continue to build on what we saw tonight and try to get ready for next week against Bennett.
Yeah. And for the Warriors now, I mean, Coach, you guys are a big factor in the 2A East. It's just unbelievable right now in 2A East how competitive things are. And that win last week on the road was certainly very big. And you take a look right now. Last year, you could see this, though, Coach, especially towards the end of the year, you could see this program improving. And I have to be honest, I am not surprised to see how well you guys are doing this year. But ultimately, you know, it's the record that counts, and you have to feel pretty good early on that the progress you made last year has certainly carried over to this year.
Absolutely. You know, and the kids put a lot of work in the summertime in the weight room and then in 7-on-7 competition and did what they needed to do to have that advantage to try to be successful early on. And, you know, we dropped the first week to Carolina in a very close competitive game and had an opportunity to win, and that's all we're going to ask them to do is put us in a place that we have an opportunity to win at the end of each game.
Now, tonight you hold Stephen Decatur to 10 points, the defense stepping up. Tell me why this is going to continue next week, Coach.
Well, you know, we hope it continues next week. You know, we're going to have to get ready and start watching some film and get ready for Bennett. But I just think the kids are starting to settle down a little bit and understanding their assignment and trying to keep things simple for everybody. And, you know, just let's have fun. Let's play football. You know, they run, we tackle them, and do our job. That's what we're trying to get to.
And really with the offense, with their ability to score so many points, you know, it's not like the defense has to carry the team. They just need to take their play, you know, up a level. It doesn't have to go up 10 levels. It just needs to go up a level or two. And most Friday nights, you guys are going to come out the victor.
Well, that we hope that. But, you know, there's always those nights, too, when, you know, if our offense isn't clicking, the defense may have to be that reason. So that's why we're going to keep putting pressure on them and asking them to step up each week. And, you know, if we can ever get them both clicking at the same time, that might be some fun stuff for us on a Friday night.
Coach, you know, with offensive lines, a lot of high schools obviously run the ball, although that has changed some. You do have more passing attacks than you ever did. But that said, with your offensive line, do you feel like you have a nice mixture there of guys that can run and pass block? I mean, I thought last week was a really good test against Parkside of showing maybe what you have physicality-wise as compared to week one where you threw the football more against North Carolina and had to pass block.
Yeah, no, last week was a very good bounce for us. I think we threw for 225 and rushed for 255. And, you know, if we can do that each and every week and keep a balanced attack, you know, it's going to make us even, you know, harder to defend. So the offensive line has done well. They still have a lot of work to do. and you know, the backs are starting to understand the system of the offense and know what they're supposed to do. And if we can just stay healthy, keep doing what we're supposed to do, and get better each week, we'll, you know, we can put ourselves in a good place at the end of the year.
Well, to have an offensive line be able to protect Ledford so he could throw the football down the field and show his talents and the talents around him, that's certainly huge, and that's a big boost, no question. So, J.M. Bennett, now they have a Saturday game in Salisbury against Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, so that affords you an opportunity, I assume, to see them in person.
Absolutely. You know, we'll have some coaches there and see what we're up against. You know, we've seen a little bit of film on them, but not much, and we'll start planning and prep for them for next week.
And, Coach, is that game at home or on the road?
It's home. It's our homecoming next week here.
Oh, wow. That's a bit early, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of the way the schedule works itself out.
Yeah. Any concerns about distractions with a week of homecoming? I mean, is that overplayed by the media, or is that legitimate?
Nah, you know, listen, man, they're again, 14 to 18-year-old kids, and you don't need homecoming for a distraction. We have distractions every week. We got to keep focused. Homecoming is just another added thing, and you know, hopefully we keep everybody focused and play our game Friday night and they can have fun on Saturday.
Well, Coach, congratulations on to a 2-1 start. Winners tonight over Stephen Decatur, 40-10. J.M. Bennett next week. Coach, thanks for your time, and we'll talk next Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too. Appreciate it. 9:57 on the OTL. It's a bit windy outside. It must be. It sounds like that. Either that or he's got a carriage of horses around there. You hear the in the background. All right. It is Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Mike Bradley along with you. Week 3, not completely in the books. J.M. Bennett plays tomorrow, but almost in the books. And we'll try to catch up with Parkside head coach Brendan Riley, all the way. I get both Brendans mixed up all the time. I don't know why. But we'll talk to him about Parkside's win over Y-High. We'll try to catch up with him next on the OTL.
Matt, look out for that skunk. I didn't even see that until you said something. Here, try these. What a difference. No glare. That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
We're talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2988. And we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island. Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family, with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM. Back to more of Overtime Live, Maryland's only high school football sports show on game night, here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10 o'clock straight up. Mike Bradley coming to you from the Edge Trading Academy Studios. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, that is, Easton Inn and Suites. And don't forget, we need your help. If you're attending a high school sports game, then we want your pictures and videos. Send them to us at overtimelive@goeaston.net or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. Taking a look at your Pret Boy Therapy scoreboard, it was Queen Anne's improving to 3-0. Winners over Washington 49-7. Jags fall to 0-3. It was Ken Island over North Carolina on a blocked field goal at the end of the game, returned 89 yards. Ken Island over North Carolina 21-14. The Bucs improved to 3-0. North Carolina drops to 2-1 in a huge 2A East game that has major playoff implications, or will certainly, at the end of the year. That could certainly affect seeding and home field advantage. It was Kent County, 22-6 winners over Colonel Richardson. The Trojans now 2-1. Colonel drops to 1-2 on the year. Easton improving to 2-1. 40-10 winners over Stephen Decatur, who drops to 0-3. Some tough times in Berlin. Snow Hill forfeited their game against Arcadia. J.M. Bennett hosting Nandua from Virginia tomorrow at noon at County Stadium. Bennett 1-1, Nandua 3-0. Cambridge, by the way, my apologies, in a non-conference affair, 54-6 winners over Seaford. So Cambridge improving to 2-1, Seaford dropping 0-2. And Parkside getting the win over Y-High in the Battle of Salisbury, 28-8. And head coach Brendan Riley joins us on the coaches line. Coach, congratulations. Welcome to the OTL once again.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah. Now, I know it's crazy to think or say last week that a very meaningful Week 2 game against Easton. Unfortunately, guys coming up short in that one, a lot of points scored, but you didn't really have any time to think on it too much because you had to turn around and play a team that you know very well, obviously being right around the corner from you in Salisbury, but also another 2A East foe in Wicomico and an offense that you don't see often, although I know you ran it several years back, so you had some intimate knowledge of it. But there's no time to hearken on a loss. You got to go forward, and you did tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, that's the thing week to week. You got to be, got to have short memory in football, man. Everyone puts a lot of emphasis on, you know, what could happen, what should happen. We just got to take care of game, the next one that came to us. So we were, my kids came out and they really busted their butts tonight and they got after. I'm real proud of them.
Well, I know it had to hurt in the loss last week. How did the kids respond to practice this week? Were they able to put that game behind them pretty quickly, or were there any lingering hangover at all or anything?
No, I really feel like, you know, when you have a rivalry game, you know, it kind of allows you to have a short memory about it because it's intimate. You know, a lot of these guys, they've gone to middle schools together. They played on Pop Warner or Salvation Army teams or, you know, the Falcons team. So they all know each other. So I think that it ends up being a really good kind of unique situation for us, kind of having them right after, you know, kind of a letdown against Easton, where I thought my kids played well. We just came up short.
Now, last week, I know your defense did account for one of the scores, but your offense had a pretty good time of it. The defense had a tough time against a very good Easton offense, and Mason Ledford leading the way with outstanding arm and some weapons around him. I certainly thought that the team tonight, because Wicomico had scored 24 and 30 points respectively coming into this game, certainly thought the team defensively that stepped up would be the victors. And what, four times inside the red zone, your defense held, and a couple of times it was pretty tight. But talk about the performance tonight, because obviously it was paramount.
Well, I think our defensive alignments and our adjustment to what it was that they were doing was an excellent game plan, and I really feel like our guys stepped up and really played selfless team defense tonight. You know, a lot of guys being very physical. I thought we had a lot of two-way guys that really stepped up and were able to make crucial plays at crucial moments and cause some fumbles and, you know, give the offense an opportunity to drive down the field and do what we do. So it was really, really a great team win.
I mean, your defense had their back against the wall several times. I know that you stopped Y-High twice inside the 25 early on. I think the first time you guys got the ball back fumbled, so Y-High had great field position, but they ended up stalling at the 5-yard line. But tonight, not only did you shut them down, but it was more of a bend don't break, though, because they moved the ball, but when your guys' backs were against the wall, they really hunkered down.
Yeah, I think they responded really well. Again, I think that, you know, inside our defensive line, we kind of called them out during the week, and I think that all of our guys really stepped up this evening and were able to play, like I said, tremendous team defense, really get hats to the football and put them in a situation where we made their offensive line have to think. And I think that, you know, when they got to think, up front, that helps our defense being able to get to where it is they need to get to.
Coach, how difficult was it to prepare for the triple option offense? And knowing that you ran it, I believe, as a coordinator back in 07 with Parkside, how far along is their offense into week three? Is it still a very basic triple option, or have they got it to the point where it's awfully difficult to prepare in, 3 days or so?
Well, you know, I think they got some good concepts up there, and I think they got some good athletes that are obviously the quarterback makes some good decisions. You know, whenever you're put in a new offense, you know, you've got a lot of situations that you got to be accounted for. And so, you know, right now I think that they're in that initial phase of trying to install their triple and install their midline concepts. And, you know, they run the rocket toss. I just felt like angle-wise where it was that they were trying to get to, We put them in a bind and really forced them to have to make some decisions that they didn't want to have to make. So, and that's kind of the double-edged sword of run the option. When you run it and it looks good, it can do some outstanding things. When you don't, all of a sudden, you can create yourselves in a hole. And I think that's what our defense was able to do to them tonight.
Well, and obviously against an option, which is a primary run, if you could go up two scores, that puts them in a situation where they have to pass. And usually if you're running the triple option, that's obviously not friendly territory.
Exactly. I think when you get them out of doing what it is that they do, you know, any option team, I don't care if you're watching, you know, Georgia Tech or whether or not you're watching, Navy, you know, you put them in a situation where they got to play catch up a little bit. All of a sudden they start pressing a little bit, and that frees your defense up because all of a sudden you know that, hey, this is a passing situation. They've got to get the ball down the field. They got to try to get a couple scores quick. So if you can, you know, be in a good, good sound defensive understanding of what it is they're doing, you can put yourself in a real good situation.
Now, Phyllis, I understand that your quarterback had an injury last week. Did he end up starting in this game tonight?
No, he didn't. Jake Renshaw, who was our player of the game for week one, actually broke his wrist. And after a play against Easton, senior freaking kid, he just an awesome young man, worked his butt off, and unfortunately, you know, had a bad break. So we had our junior, our second guy up, Andrew Smith, who was able to step in there and do some things. And
I think we lost Coach. Let's take a timeout because I want to continue the conversation with him, and we'll do it next. So the Overtime Live on 94.3 Wings FM at sfmsports.net.
Fall savings at Ben Franklin Crafts. Save 33% off all fall bushes, fall ribbon bolts, creativity for kids box kits, and Winsor & Newton artist oils. Save 40% off all fall scarecrows, Gamelin artists oils, and Sweet Beads charms. Save 50% off all custom framing orders. Create, embellish, just add imagination. Ben Franklin Crafts, Easton Plaza, Marlboro Road, Easton.
All right, we've got Coach back with us on the hotline. And, Coach, so your backup quarterback, Andrew Smith, a junior, came in for Jake Renshaw, who broke his wrist last week against Easton. And your thoughts on how he performed?
I thought he did an outstanding job. He came in, was very composed, was able to do some things. I think he had some initial jitters, which caused one of the fumbles right at the start, which gave the Y-High good field position. But the rest of the night, I think he did an outstanding job.
And what kind of quarterback is he? I mean, how does your passing game stay the same? Is he more of a running guy, or what's his makeup?
He actually very similar to Renshaw, definitely pro style, and has a heck of a live arm, and really could get the ball down the field.
And certainly, you feel for Jake, as you just talked about, and the end of his season, I assume.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Definitely, my heart goes out to that kid. He's a great kid.
Coach, we just talked about the Easton game last week and that being a big game, but I really thought tonight this potentially could be a make-or-break game because it's a 2A East game, and with as competitive as things are in that division, a loss tonight, and that could be a devastating blow to your team. Maybe I'm overstating it, but your thoughts, did the kids feel that? Did the coaching staff feel that, or am I overplaying it?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I think that the 2A East is one of the toughest regions in the entire state, without a doubt. There's great quality football that's here on the shore, and we got some great coaches, and there's great programs, and there's no doubt, man. You definitely got to you got to come ready to play every single week. And I think going into this Y-High game, I think we as a coaching staff were cognizant of it. We didn't really kind of play that up with our kids. And one of those kind of things, it was just like, hey, we need to go to work. And that's what we need to do, fit better. And that's what we try to focus on throughout the week.
Success begets success. You won't be facing an offense like this again unless you get in the playoffs and play somebody like that. You take a look at tonight. Will this be a springboard for your defense to feel confident that they can go from here and you'll get the kind of consistent play that you need out of them?
I really hope so. I think that we have some guys on our squad that have really done an outstanding job this offseason, and I really feel like our defense has the ability to play with a lot of teams, and I really think that it could be definitely needed a great showing, and I felt like we responded to what it was that happened last week. We were able to come out and basically shut Y-High down, and that was a good situation for us.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Improved to 2-1 on the season, and Coach, you travel to Colonel Richardson next week, correct?
Yes, sir.
And as we've talked to other coaches and we talked to Coach Magnum earlier, the word on the street certainly is that their front seven is very physical and pretty talented crew there, which should make for a good matchup against a physical offensive line that you guys have.
Yeah, I think last year, last year, of course, you throw stuff out and then you kind of get forward. I've heard some good things about what Colonel's doing up there. So, every week you gotta prepare, and every week we got to get ready. So I let my kids have a good trip off and then get ready to rock and roll come Monday.
Yeah, what was the score last year, Coach? Because that was a shootout. I know we talked about that a little bit ago.
Yeah, I think it was, man, I tell you what.
Was that like 72-36? Was that the final one?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was like 72-36. It was like nonstop scoring. It was nuts, man. It was like a basketball score.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. Let me ask you real quick, final question, playing Wicomico tonight and again seeing their offense. Will that be a team come week 9 or 10, knowing that offense that is going to be scary? Or is it going to take a year? Or could it be next year before that offense is really hitting on all cylinders?
I really don't know. I think that, obviously they got some great kids over there and they worked really, really hard tonight. And I think, they got a good concept with it. So it could be, just a matter of it's a long season. Like I tell my kids, it's a long season and you got to get better each week. So, they'll take a look at what they do and then they'll go from there. My job is to get our guys right and get ready to go. So by this time, I'm not going to worry about them anymore.
Fair point. Well, Coach, congratulations, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. That's head coach Brendan Riley joining us on the coaches line at 10:13 on the OTL. Mike Bradley with you in the Edge Trading Academy studios here as we start to put the wraps on another week of the program. Coming to you live here, your Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. We'll go back over that coming up and give some final thoughts as well. Don't forget, next week is a 1A showdown as Cambridge South Dorchester hosts Kent County, that is. And we'll have pregame show at 6:45, your Roto-Rooter pregame show at 6:45, and then kickoff at 7 o'clock right here at 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net. Keep it here. We're back next.
Chincheck Sports Locker is the place to go for all of your local sports team spirit wear. Located at the Tread Avon Square on Marlboro Road, Chincheck Sports Locker offers custom-made spirit wear using sublimation, screen printing, and embroidery. Need team uniforms or sports equipment? Chincheck Sports Locker now carries Under Armour. Chincheck Sports Locker is also your one-stop shop for lacrosse gear. And Chincheck Sports Locker isn't just for sports teams. Get that team spirit for your business, too. Check out ChincheckSportsLocker.com or find them on Facebook. To place your orders, call Chincheck Sports Locker at 443-239-0178. Chincheck Sports Locker, now located at the Tread Avon Square by Acme on Marlboro Road in Easton.
Attention contractors, Supplies Unlimited of Delmarva and Baltimore can provide you with a full line of gypsum products and accessories for your residential and commercial projects. So whether you need wallboard, sheathing, metal framing, or insulation, Supplies Unlimited is the place for you. Need doors or frames? Yes, they do those too. Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame have been serving Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware for over 30 years. Prompt delivery is available, so don't delay and place your next order with Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-938-2294 or visit SuppliesUnlimitedInc.com.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the Distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com.
Talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette and Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2982. And we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette and Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island.
Sport Clips, America's haircut place for men and boys, boldly asks, who invented the demolition derby? Man, yes, guys live their life a little differently. At Sport Clips, guys find sports on TV, a relaxing neck and shoulder massage, our legendary hot steam towel, and a haircut that always looks great. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, with locations in Easton, Kent Island, Salisbury, and coming soon to Cambridge. Visit sportclips.com. Easton Cycle and Sport features more than just two wheels. Paddleboarding is the new craze, and Easton Cycle and Sport has just what you're looking for. Want to relax on the water? Easton Cycle and Sport also has canoes and kayaks. Make Easton Cycle and Sport your destination for cycling, paddling, and lacrosse. Stop by and check the great selection at 723 Goldsboro Street in Easton or call 410-822-7433.
The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:17 on the OTL. Paula's Fine Jewelry, back to reward one lucky coach from the North Bayside. Each coach that participates this year will be entered into a drawing to become the Overtime Live Coach of the Year. The winner receives a $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. By the way, our carpool coach of the week goes to Kent Island's Damian Ferragamo as the Bucks winners today by a score of 21-14 as we take a look at your Brett Moy Therapy scoreboard. Brett Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Kent Island with a block at the very end of the game, what, 30 seconds or less in that game? I think it was about 35 seconds. Kent Island with a block of North Carolina field goal. They return it for a touchdown. They win 21-14 as North Carolina head coach James McCormick decides to go for a chip shot field goal and not to run the ball on fourth down, presumably with David Bailey, possibly Tay Potts. And Zay Rychester, also an option back there as well. And as I talked about earlier, you know, Kent Island has had a lot of success the first 2 weeks on special teams and defense. That's been in the paper. We've talked about it. It's been on my blog. I would rather take my chance with my stud running backs in the running game than take a chance in special teams that, especially at the high school level, can be awfully iffy. Again, easy to second guess. Look, I've been a coach and player. I've been there. So, again, it's not me trying to rub anything in, but I do think that I would think most coaches would probably have given the ball there to the running back. But, again, is there a guarantee that one of those guys would have scored? No, of course not. Of course not. Now, Kent Island's defense is very good. Could they have gotten through the line and taken down one of those backs? Sure. And then I'm sure there would be some people saying, oh, you should have kicked the field goal. Now, I swear I would not be one of them, though. Again, knowing special teams being shaky, especially the high school level, I certainly wouldn't have said that. In fact, I think I would have sounded pretty ridiculous if I said, oh, there's no question he should have gone for the field goal there. I don't think you could nearly make as strong an argument with that as you could with running the football. And maybe even a Cody Pepper play-action pass rollout when everybody's expecting to run in between the tackles on a bootleg or something. Maybe slip a guy out, run pass option. That could have been the plays well. But it is what it is. Big win for Kent Island, though, on the road, 3-0 in that 2A East. North Carolina drops to 2-1. Queen Anne's improving to 3-0. 49-7 winners over Washington, who drops to 0-3. Kent County with a big game. Look, a 1A matchup against a Colonel Richardson team that had a chance to win. Kent County without three of their offensive linemen. They did get Marquand Green back, but Kent County losing their starting quarterback halfway through the game. He was injured last week, Tyson Johnson, and he could not resume action in the second half. So it wasn't exactly easy on Wharton, but Colonel, their running game just strung out too much. Outside linebackers were blitzed, and Marquand Green is a guy that, hey, if you get by the first line or second line of defense, guess what? I could run you down. Yeah, that's fair enough. And Colonel's passing game just not there to be able to take advantage of that, with the box being so filled up, if you will. Easton, comfortable winners over Stephen Decatur, 40-10. Easton 2-1. Decatur now 0-3. Cambridge in a non-conference affair against Seaford, 54-6 winners. Cambridge at 2-1. Seaford drops to 0-2. And Parkside improving to 2-1. 28-8 winners over Y-High. But a game that was very close, Y-High in the red zone four times got stopped, one of those at the five-yard line. Y-High moved the ball on Parkside's defense, but when the rubber hit the road, Parkside's defense stepped up. And Parkside had a chance to score right at the end of the first half, but the ref wouldn't get out of the way to allow them to spike the ball. Not saying he did it on purpose, but that adversely affected them from scoring there. Snow Hill forfeited their game against Arcadia, Virginia. They were down to just like 11 guys. It's been documented at OvertimeLive.net on my blog and what we learned, etc. They're on hard times right now with numbers. It's rough. And they play Washington next week. Well, guess what? Washington has about double the players that they'll have for the game. And Washington's a much better team. So that's not going to be easy, but I understand they did what they had to do. You feel for Snow Hill, who made the playoffs, I think, last in 2012, but even though they're a 1A team and one of the smallest, if not the smallest school in Maryland, that was a team program that had success. Not anymore. Not recently. Not 13, 14, 15, or 16. So this is becoming four straight years. Been tough times in Snow Hill with the Eagles. Tomorrow at noon, County Stadium in Salisbury, J.M. Bennett 1-1 hosting Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. Nandua 3-0 have outscored their opponents something like 89-33. I put in my blog, but the combined record of their opponents 0-9 though, 0-9. So that ought to tell you at least a little something there. I'm going with Bennett in that one. Going with Bennett, but now I could see possibly Nandua winning. I don't think Bennett's as strong as they were last year, but we'll see. All right, so as we take a look, wrapping things up tonight, the 2A East, two good teams going at each other. Could have gone either way. It went to Kent Island. Both teams will go forward from here. Certainly North Carolina is not out by a long shot, but could that affect their seeding and home field advantage? Oh, certainly could. But Kent Island still has to play Queen Anne's, who's 3-0. Queen Anne's and North Carolina have to do battle. Kent County with a good win tonight, and Easton continues to roll along. So they're in good stead there. Cambridge, Parkside, all 2-1. But it's a baseline conference, though, that you feel a little bit more competitive than they were last year. And I thought last year was a step up. That was a good thing. And when you see teams at 2-1, 1-2, that means it's a more competitive. Outside of Snow Hill and Decatur, and even Washington, though, at 0-3 is a better team, better program. It's not going to show in the win column, win-loss column. But they're getting there slowly. You know, Bennett's up in the air. We know what Decatur and Snow Hill are. Y-High is a work in progress. Be interesting to see how that triple option offense evolves. And tonight's shutdown, though, against probably one of the better opponents, although Cambridge is no slouch defensively, and they scored 24 points, although a lot of that came in the fourth quarter, though, to be fair, to the Vikings defense. And that one, that came later in the game. We'll take a look ahead. Obviously, the 2A East is the real headline here. Exciting times. Mike D'Angelo, Queen Anne's, Mason Ledford of Easton. And they are getting it done. Very exciting. Very exciting with their passing game. It's good to see. Really early, but meaningful games in week 2 and 3. Yeah, that's a good sign. That's a great sign of things. All right, that's going to put the wraps to things. Want to thank all the coaches for coming on. Mark Potter and Dale Beecraft, of course, did a great job of the game of the week. Well, thanks, Steve Clendenin at SFMSports.net for the great job that he does. Again, your scoreboard updates brought to you by our friends at Brett Moy Therapy Associates at the AAMC building on Kent Island, providing physical therapy and sports care. We've been coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Of course, Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Don't forget, my power poll will be coming out. In fact, see, Bennett plays tomorrow at noon, so my power poll will be out on Sunday, probably Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening at OvertimeLive.net. Then we'll have the What We Learned segment. We'll have that on Monday or Tuesday, and then my pick segment on Thursday. But don't forget Overtime Live on Facebook, and we post articles from various publications. Dave Inslee and the Star Democrat, Mitchell Northam in the Daily Times, Dustin Mills of the Star Democrat. So we keep you covered with all that. And thank you so much for all the support. We appreciate it. We're happy to do it. We love what we do. And hard to believe next week's already going to be week four. Wow. Man, oh, man. And next week, our game of the week will be Cambridge South Dorchester hosting Kent County in a 1A showdown, a big game for both teams. The Roto-Rooter pregame show gets us started at 6:45 with a kickoff at 7 o'clock. Mark Potter, the coach Dale Beecraft on the call right here at 94.3 Wings FM and sfmsports.net. Have yourself a great and safe rest of your weekend, and we will catch you back here next Friday at 6:45 on your local sports leader, 94.3 Wings FM, Nash Knights Live. More of today's best country music is on the way, so make sure to keep it here for that. Again, have a safe and great Friday night, a great weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday, 10:27. It's been the OTL on 94.3 Wings FM at sfmsports.net.